Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Welcome to another edition of the Highbury Squad. Oh, I love Mondays like this. I really do. And joining me today, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell is on a secret mission and assignment somewhere in the world. We don't quite know where he is, but when we find out, we'll let you know. But joining me today is the one, the only, my podcast sister, Princess Guna herself. Welcome to the show.
Well, are we happy today, Soph?
Easy on the gloating, just for the first half hour. How about
okay.
that?
Okay, all right. I'm not gloating. Okay. I'm just happy.
I know. And you know what? I think one of the things for us Arsenal fans is where people don't, you know, they're not very forgiving with us, is we haven't had many of these moments against the top sides over the last 5 or 6 years. So please forgive us when we do beat a great team like Manchester United 2-0. Last time we kept a clean sheet against them was in 2017, I think. But I'll leave all that for the big convo. Joining us today is the editor of Stretty News, a Manchester United journalist who's been featured on Mirror, on the Daily Mirror, Daily Mail and Goal. He's someone I started talking to years ago about football, really blossomed and evolved into top shelf journalist. He joined us on the podcast last year as well. Welcome to the show, Mr. Dalo Donnell.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here. I know we're on the back of a bad result for United, but look, I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Excellent. It was one of those games going into it where we had such a poor European turnout. In hindsight now, I think that Emery had his eye on this game, which is really an interesting juxtaposition for us when it comes to wanting to win Europa League versus finishing top four. Dale, you went into this Manchester United on a euphoric run with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Talk about turning things around. What was your take on the game? One thing I know that peeved Amanda off a little bit was how we weren't getting credit for winning and most people were putting it on you losing. What's your take on the game and whether you lost it or whether we won it?
I think the fantastic run was coming to an end at some point, but I think Amanda's maybe right. When the way Arsenal won yesterday, you know, tactically Emery got it spot on. I think it's very unfair to kind of look at this game as United lost rather than Arsenal won or win. Massive, massive result for Arsenal. I think he got so much things right. At the start of the game, people were saying, well, he's been a bit aggressive with the starting lineup. But Arsenal didn't defend particularly well against United. Whenever we got forward, we looked like we were going to score. But the way Arsenal were set up was like there was an extra shield for that defence. And although it was an extremely attack-minded lineup, I thought he coped really well with pressure. But it was a game of fine margins. And I think maybe that's why people have put it down to more of a United loss than an Arsenal win, because if you consider the key events, De Gea having an absolute, well, I think people went a bit harsh on De Gea, to be honest. I don't think it's that big of a mistake as Gary ever made it out to be. But we had the two efforts off Woodwork that didn't go in, close chances. The penalty, which I'm sure we'll discuss, I think was a soft decision. So I think when people are reflecting the game, they're looking at those fine margins and probably taking a bit away from Arsenal, which is probably unfair.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair assessment. Amanda, we almost capitulated as a fan base before the Tottenham team sheet came out. We were all panicked and Emery got it right. And then I think a little bit yesterday, we were also euphorically excited that the team we really wanted to see was the team that he chose. And again, though, some people question Emery. Dale brings up a good example of how we just had a protection for our defence yesterday. What's your take on the Gunners, the squad, and how we kind of, you know, positioned and performed against a really, really good Man United team right now?
Well, I was really shocked when I saw the team come out. And I mean, you were the one that told me. You went, Ozil, Lacazette, Aubameyang, they're all playing. And I went, what? This is brilliant. But a lot of people slagged Emery off beforehand on Twitter. I said to everybody, I said, listen, why don't you just wait and see? You know, he does seem to get it right tactically against the big sides, which is alien to us, isn't it? It's normally the smaller sides when Wenger, if I'm honest. We struggled against the top four. And I was really, really pleased, if I'm honest. I was like, yeah, we're going for it. It's going to be 6-5. That's what's going to happen because we can't defend and we're going to go for it. Your defence, Dale, to be honest, isn't brilliant. And, you know, they've got Pogba, you've got, well, Martial came on. We didn't know if Lingard was going to make an appearance. And we just thought, oh, this is just going to be brilliant. And I was so impressed. And I do have to take you up on one thing when you said that we didn't defend very well. That was our best defensive performance of the season. We defended like men and not like boys. So I was really pleased with the lineup. But then I am a little bit of an attacking minded girl. I don't really want 14 DMs on the pitch, but my Facebook exploded with people going, we haven't got any DMs. And I went, we got Xhaka, we'll cope. You know, we're on a very good run of football wise. We should have beaten Tottenham. We deserve to beat Tottenham. We're playing well at the moment. Rennes was just a bit of a weird one. Rennes or whatever you call it was a bit of a weird one for me because we were atrocious. And just going back to something, I just want to come back into the Europa, into the Champions League, Dale. I had a massive debate about your penalty. I'm not one of these Arsenal fans that's very pro Arsenal and not to anyone else. If I think, you know, I personally didn't think Lacazette's, fall yesterday was a penalty. I know a lot of people do. I don't. I think it's,
no way.
It's,
no way
was it's that. Ultra soft. I mean,
There is contact.
Fred was silly. You know, this is the problem now with defenders. If he's going to put a hand in his back and touch his knee slightly, he's going down. That's it. Because they don't. It's really tough now, isn't it? I feel sorry for refs, if I'm honest. Only on penalties, not on offsides. I'm getting sick of bloody linesmen with offside and linesmen with offside. We had one yesterday. It was so blatant and he didn't give it. Anyway, forget that. Just want to go back. Can I have your honest opinion? Do you think that the PSG defender handballed it with intention?
Intentionally, no. Definitely, 100% he didn't. And the rule states that unless it's intentional or it can't be a penalty or so on. But as a counter argument to that, and if you watch it again, he turns his back to the ball, so he doesn't know where the ball is going. Also, his arm is spread out to his side. It's not down by his side, it's up. So it's out of the way. And that is blocking the goal. Now, look, was the ball going wide? I don't know. What, bit unlucky maybe, but his arm is out. It is blocking the goal. And the ball was going through. So I think it was a penalty. But again, you're looking at these two incidents here. And you would find people that would say one was a penalty, one wasn't. You know, with Fred against Arsenal, he put himself in a really, really bad position. Considering the referee's point of view, where he can see the incidents, Fred doesn't look good. He's running in behind Lacazette, and there's contact. So the referee, most referees, I think, are going to give that a second look. They're going to consider that. And when you're in the box and the referees consider something, you're not in the best situation then. It was soft, but I think if you put that decision up to a bunch of referees, I think you'd be surprised by how much of a mixed reaction they get.
Were you surprised then that when it went to VAR on Wednesday night that you got the penalty?
Do you know, actually watching the game, I didn't jump up and say I saw the ball hit his hand or anything like that, but the ball took a deflection. And I wondered for a second, but I was actually so happy that we won a penalty near the end of the game. And I was buzzing like, you know, get forward. The worst part about it was waiting. And when the referee decides to go to VAR, the anticipation of waiting for that, people that watch the World Cup might be able to talk about it the same way, but that felt like a lifetime waiting for it, because you kind of knew he was going to give it. When you've seen the replays, I had a fairly good feeling he was going to give it. But when he did, and the way the game ended, it was amazing.
The thing is, what I felt was watching Rio Ferdinand, Hargreaves and Owen, apart from Owen so much, Ferdinand is so pro-United. It's like watching, I don't know, whoever, you know, like a Carragher with Liverpool, is that he was adamant it wasn't a penalty. Yet when I talked to most of my Man United friends said it wasn't, except one who is adamant it is. Now, the thing is, it is all, look, it's subjective because it's
I think it is a penalty.
I thought it was.
What, against PSG?
No. Yes, 100% a penalty. I'm sick and tired of this hand to ball, ball to hand. Don't mean it.
It has to be deliberate. That is the rule. He was jumping deliberate. With his back to
goal.
What?
His arm was a little bit raised. He deliberately, he turned his back, but he used his arm in order to defend.
But you have to use your arm to turn. So
no,
when you jump.
Perhaps on this, the rule needs to change. Because I think it's absolutely rubbish that he can jump with his back to the ball, with his hands raised, and people can say it's not deliberate.
Exactly.
You know, that's a cop out.
I don't think it's deliberate. But you know, that's why I want. You know, it's interesting when VAR comes in next year. I personally don't want VAR for penalties. I want it for offsides, and I want it for line anything. But I don't want it for anything subjective, because again, you're going to have two people sitting in a studio or three. Deciding whether it is or isn't, where thousands of people think it is and thousands don't.
Amanda, even after that, we're still here and we're still disagreeing. Yeah. You know, there's no definite answer to either of these penalty shots. People will agree and disagree after
okay, bar, so for me, PSG wasn't, and for me, Lacazette wasn't. So I know, of course.
Okay, let me bring it back a little bit to yesterday's game. And also joining us right now is Super Kev.
We
Super
found
Kevin.
Him!
From his,
we found
his
him!
Location somewhere in the universe. Hello, Super Kev.
Hello, ladies. Hey. How are you? Hi, Mark. How are you?
It's actually Dale.
It's not
Dale
Mark. Brown. It's Dale.
Okay.
Who's Dale? Which Dale?
So step up. Dale from Stretty News is on, and he's very brave. He's a United journalist, and he's come on to talk about yesterday's game, Super Kev.
Well, that's fair enough. Listen, can I just say my part? I was very proud of the way Arsenal performed last night, and Dale will admit it. Arsenal were the better team yesterday. They were. Yes. They actually bullied Manchester United, which don't happen a lot. It doesn't happen a lot.
Kev, it was interesting, you know, because he just said about our defence that wasn't great. I said that's the best defensive performance we put in. It was like
exactly.
We were like men, not boys.
Exactly.
Dale, do you agree with Kev? Do you think that we deserve to win it?
Yeah, look, I don't know. We had some great chances as well. And just on your defence, you know, if Lukaku, how many chances did he have? And if he was any way clinical yesterday, which I think his all-round game was very, very good yesterday, but if he was clinical yesterday, there's no way that anyone in this podcast is telling me Arsenal defended well.
I think we did.
Let me try and quantify what I think Kev and Amanda mean by that too, is that, yes, we had the bar and the post as part of our defence. No doubt we got lucky yesterday. And but for a more clinical finishing, you guys could have been 2-1 up at half time easily. I think the difference, though, is for Arsenal, why our defence looks so much more elevated is because Leno has added another layer that we just haven't had, I think, since Jens Lehmann. Even Cech, as much as I love him and I adore him and I think he's been a brilliant goalkeeper, what Leno's done in the North London Derby and in this game against Manchester United, Dale, is I think give us that last line of defence that we never had before. And I think that was a major difference too, which is why in the end, you know, perhaps we did deserve it. But let me ask you this while we're on the subject of goalkeepers, guys. The debate of the first goal, the people are split, and I'd love to know what Dale and you guys think. Was it a De Gea error, or was it just one of those wonder shots from Xhaka and the technology of the football misleading De Gea completely, or was his positioning off? Dale, what's your take on that and the United fans?
I'm going to give it to Xhaka. I disagree with Gary Ablett, and Gary Neville's been very strongly critical of De Gea in this incident. But if you watch the game, he does take a gamble by taking a bit of a step to his left. But the ball takes a dramatic turn, very late on to the right. And I think most goalkeepers in that situation is just unlucky. To call it a howler, this is a goalkeeper very, very rarely makes mistakes. And even if he does make a mistake, to be that harsh, again, I put it down. I think Warnie probably will hit better again.
Wow. You know, the other thing too, I think is really interesting as well, is the penalty for Aubameyang. I don't know if you guys saw, and it's gone viral today, that he didn't even look at the ball. And De Gea looked really upset that he even moved, because it was almost like there was this chess game going on between the two of them with their eyes. And I thought that was really fascinating, the way Aubameyang took the penalty and De Gea kind of, you know, moved and looked a little bit pissed with himself. Dale, is he usually good at saving penalties? I'm not sure on his stats with penalties and stuff. What? Because we always fear when we get a penalty against us, because we're just never good at saving them. What was the take for you guys yesterday on that?
Don't remember many penalties David De Gea saved, and it's actually something I thought about before he took the penalty. When was the last time he did save a penalty for United? It didn't jump to mind. So when we concede one, I'm very rarely confident he's going to stop it.
Yeah. You know, one of the other things too, I think, in yesterday's game that was really evident was the battle in midfield. And I feel like we set the tone for that very early on, Dale, where in the first 15, 20 minutes, I think we completely dominated your midfield. Pogba, I didn't think, had a great game, and he's been much better under Ole. What was your take on, were you surprised without Torreira, without Guendouzi? We had a much more, you know, yes, Xhaka, but Rambo loves to burst forward. Were you surprised how much we dominated you in that first half in midfield?
Well, I was, because we're talking about Pogba and Matic, who were coming back from, Pogba was suspended during the week and Matic has been injured the past few weeks. So in games gone by, we were all talking about, you know, McTominay and how we're going to cope without Matic. So having him back, we expected a lot more in midfield yesterday. They weren't at the races, and I think quite a few players, not just the midfield, weren't 100%. One of those, Rashford, they were playing at levels a bit lower than 100%. Rashford looked tired. Pogba, his head wasn't really in the game, I didn't think, and Matic was kind of being outrun by some of your midfielders. So looking at Fred, then I was on a different United podcast last night, and someone was talking about how Fred had a really, really good game. And I was thinking, really? Really good game? It was better than some of the displays we've seen from this season. But if you're telling me a midfielder like Fred has stood out yesterday, well, then I need to see something special at the goal. A game-changing moment. I didn't see any of those yesterday. He played the game safe, but he wasn't standout-ish. And I'd like to see what the rest of the panel think about our midfield, including Fred, because he didn't really threaten you, did he?
So, Dale, that's great. Kev, before we let you go, what last words have you got to say to us?
Listen, Dale has been very complimentary to United. Let's be honest. Arsenal battered them yesterday. They did batter them. And Arsenal proved that they are up for the top four. That's what they proved. They proved it yesterday. We know after Thursday, the question was out there. Can Arsenal step up to the plate? And Arsenal stepped up to the plate and they proved it.
Brilliant. Listen, Kev, thank you so much for joining us. Have a fantastic time wherever you are on this planet, and we will speak to you when you're back.
I can't give away my location, but God bless you.
Have fun, darling. See you soon.
Thanks, darling. Bye.
Bye.
Kev.
Amanda, I just want to go back to Dale's point about, and I think Kev's being a bit over complimentary of Arsenal. I don't think battered Man United at all. There were moments in that game where I was very confident, but that I was a little afraid that if they got one, how would we handle that? And in the second half, they got into very good positions, especially on the flanks, I thought. So I don't think we battered them. Did we dominate the game overall over 90 minutes? Yes, but did we get lucky? Absolutely. But was there a new wave Arsenal here in that we turned up in a big game and we didn't capitulate when we were put under pressure?
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sorry, Soph. Let me explain. I don't think we battered them, sorry. I think we were better than them. I didn't mean to say batter, I meant better.
Yeah, I think
we deserve to win it. I'm not gonna argue that point. That's my opinion. I think Kev's might have had a couple of champagnes. Wherever he is on this planet, he's probably had a few mimosas. And he's buzzing. We're all buzzing. You know what, Dale? We've always been the also rans. You know, we've had to, the last couple of years with Spurs being above us and going on about the power shift, which is a load of rubbish because they haven't won anything. And it was a big deal to us because we nearly beat Spurs in the last minute, as you know, with a penalty. And then
I won't take that away from any Arsenal fan.
You're right
to be delighted.
We didn't batter you. Absolutely not. It was a really, really good game. And I actually was talking to a couple of friends today about how well United play. And I thought there was one move that Pogba did in midfield that was like football porn, honestly. There was, in the second half, it was the first half, actually. It was just brilliant. And I do think that you are a good team. And actually, weirdly, because I hate Man United, I really like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I didn't like him as a player, what he did to us. But as a manager, I think you should give him a chance, actually. I think he's doing well, but remember, it's all great at the moment. You had a great run. Yeah. It's this first season, like half a season in. I could have done better than Mourinho. And, you know, I just think, you know, let him bed in. You should give him time because obviously he's Man United through and through. The players obviously want to play for him. You can tell that for a start, don't you? You've got some great players there and it is going to be a fascinating battle between you, us and Chelsea. It's like a point in it. It's not even much.
Tottenham, they're not safe. Everyone
sorry.
Just assuming that they're going to finish third, they're not.
But you're right. We're only a point behind them. I keep forgetting that because they were 10 points ahead. I mean, this is just brilliant. And they've got to go to City and Liverpool and we don't. You've got to play Chelsea. So it's, do you know what? It really is in our hands, if anything, for the first time ever. But you see, the thing is, Dale, I'm a lot older than you. And top four means nothing to me. Winning it is everything. It don't matter if you come second, third or fourth, really, does it? You don't get anything for that. But because the Champions League and because we've been out of it a couple of years, I'm really enjoying the Europa League because it's a chance for us to actually win something because we wouldn't win the Champions League with the team we've got now. But going back to your performance against PSG as well, it was an amazing performance. You know, it was fantastic. And I think your club under Ollie will only go from strength to strength. But I think under Emery, you know, we're going to go from strength to strength. What he was left with and what he's done for us to be fourth now and in the Europa League just, we're still in it, is an amazing feat. And I'm so proud of the boys. And that's where Kev comes from, is that we're proud because we don't beat you. You know, even at your worst, under Mourinho, we couldn't beat you at Old Trafford. The only time I think I've been there when we've won was when Danny
Welbeck scored. I think David Moyes did the double over Arsenal.
Exactly. You're just, unfortunately for us, you're just our bogey club. And I've only ever seen you win when Danny Welbeck scored in the cup. That's when I was there. I've seen draws there. So for us to beat you, and it was a really good football game as well. There wasn't anything that was nasty. It was good football. You know, and on behalf of every single Arsenal fan, we're disgusted at what happened to Smalling because what we'd only seen before with Grealish that was absolutely abhorrent. And I'm pleased the bloke's been sent down because you cannot go on a field of play and assault someone. I don't even know what they get out of it, if I'm honest. I just don't get it. But, you know, that's not our club and that's not our fans. And I'd like to apologise on behalf of him, if I'm honest.
But to be honest, Amanda...
A couple of things there, Dale. First, address the Ole. I want to know if you guys want him as your long-term coach and if not, who you want. And then the insanity of some stupid fans that we have seen over the last few hours here.
Yeah, well, just first, on what Amanda said about apologising on behalf of some moron that decided to run to the pitch and approach Chris Smalling. Every football club, there's no exceptions, has moronic supporters. Every single one of them. Guys that sing about tragedies. There's people that run on the pitch and approach players and try and attack professionals. There's just morons. And there's nothing that you can do about it or I can do about it, but there's definitely something the Football Association, the authority, can do about this. Now, they're probably going to try different methods. I don't think having empty stadiums works. I think that affects everyone. Football turns into rubbish then as well. It looks like a friendly. But definitely, these guys deserve jail time. To taking them away from football for 2 or 3 years or whatever it is they usually do, or for a lifetime, there's ways to get back into football. You can go in disguise, and people do that. I know people that do it. So that doesn't work. The books need to be thrown at these guys. They're thugs. But look, thugs go to football too. But the majority of them can behave themselves for 90 minutes. This guy was just completely, I don't know what his excuse would be, but there is no excuse for it. As for Jack Grealish, I think everyone covering this, Jack Grealish and Birmingham and Villa and everyone involved, it really, really lucky. Everyone's really, really lucky. If that moron was holding a knife, and we know knife crime is up at the moment, we could be talking about something totally, totally different. So when people are saying this is an overreaction, no, it's not. It's not. This is serious. We're living in a society now where knife crime is happening on a daily basis. And you're telling me that guy could not carry a knife into that game yesterday and could have used it? Of course he could have. We're blessed that it was only a punch. But
and
still,
Dale, if that punch would have hit his temple and connected, he would have died anyway. And that's exactly what I said on Twitter. He could have been carrying a knife. It would have been the most horrific thing ever. And where I live, the knife crime is happening exactly where I am. And it is frightening. And I don't think 14 weeks is enough, if I'm honest. And he's going to be out in 7. And as you're right, he'll get into football. He'll just disguise himself. You know,
as well as that, can I just give Jack Grealish so much credit too, with the way he reacted? Just his smile, went on to win the game, described it as the best day of his life in a derby. How amazing did that feel to get one up on that absolute moron?
And to score the winning goal, it's like a film, isn't it?
Roy, the Rovers, isn't it? And talk about a player who's been, you know, he's had his own issues and his own problems. And so to kind of see him mature and take that on and to see that kind of be the end result. Talk about football poetic justice and stuff. So Dale, we know you have to go you have a very special family occasion, your granddad's birthday, and we, the Highbury squad, want to wish your granddad a very happy birthday. But before you do go, there's two things. LVG retires today, and there's a really nice note from Marcus Rashford to him as well on Twitter. We know that you guys suffered a little under LVG, but at the same time, I think looking back on the Mourinho time, how bad was LVG? So we'll get you out on who you do want as Manchester United's next manager and how you think that top six is going to shape out.
Right, well, he's at the wheel already, Ollie. I want Ollie as manager beyond this season. I just think the icing on the cake was Paris Saint-Germain. It wasn't the result that did it for me. It was the aftermath, and having Ferguson and so many big figures and former players mixing with players in the dressing room celebrating, the sound of players singing Ollie's name. And this was just a sense that my Man United is back. I'm not saying we're back dominating again, but a sense that the club that I love is back, and the right feeling, the DNA is back, and the important ingredients. Under Mourinho, I think, Sophie, you know I liked Mourinho before he became Manchester United manager, but he was just, his demeanour was so dour. I don't think United fans ever felt that he was committed or he wanted to be there. It's such a difference. It's such an uplift. The Solskjaer is always smiling. Look, the results, they're very important too, but everyone's buzzing at the club. Everyone's so happy, and why would you want happiness to end? You know, when we've seen a few dour spells under different managers. But the top six, I think City will win the title. I think they have enough to win the title. I think Liverpool have put enough in the field.
Can I ask you a quick question, Dale? Can I just ask you?
Yeah.
Do you want City to win it? Or do you think they're going to win it?
I would prefer City to win it. I don't want City to win it.
It's honestly, it could not be worse for you, could it? It really couldn't.
No, but look, Liverpool will finish second. I don't have enough midfield, enough quality midfield. People are talking about all these, Wijnaldum and Keita and Fabinho and all that. But they're more grafters. I don't see quality cutting defenders up. And they're over-reliant on the likes of Salah and Mane to do it every week. And when they don't do it, people are saying they're flopping. Yes, Salah is still up there with the top goal scorer in the league,
exactly.
You know. So
yeah.
Third, if you asked me a few weeks ago, it would have been Spurs, but I'm watching Spurs at the moment and I just don't see any consistency. I don't see the same team I seen 8-10 weeks ago. Totally different. Total drop in level, but whether that will remain the same, I'm going to say United third and fourth place.
Get Dale, mate.
Arsenal. The right choice, mate. Yeah.
Let him be honest.
No, honestly, that's what I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for Chelsea sixth and Spurs fifth.
Okay.
You know, a few weeks ago, Amanda and I, when you guys started going on your run, we were like, watch United take over Spurs in third. We never thought, we always hoped that we would improve. And we always felt like if we could get a result in that North London derby and one against you, we could be well in there.
It's huge.
It's really huge. And for United and Arsenal, we'll say this, you know, until our next battle. It's been very polite, but, you know, we have overcome adversity as clubs. You know, the two greatest Premier League teams ever, the best rivalry in Premier League history, the greatest memories. And here we are, hopefully two clubs coming back, because the Premier League, I think, is a lot more exciting when Arsenal and Man United are doing their thing.
Can I just ask one question before I run?
Of course.
For both of you, because you just touched on it there, Sophie, and something that I really miss about this fixture. And I grew up in the Vieira, Keane years, and that's a rivalry, and that I miss that. Is there any way possible you think that in the future we'll see anything like that? Because it's locked down to personnel, and those guys in both of those dressing rooms, we can both agree, were hungry footballers that wanted a win. Roy Keane, Vieira, you know, Keown, Van Nistelrooy, and so on. Will we ever get that back? Because I watched games like yesterday, and although we can admit it was a good spectacle or whatever, it's not the same. It's never the same.
No, it's not. And you won't see what we did see. The battles between Keane and Vieira were just awesome. And proper old school football. You're not going to see it, but from our team, Sokratis is a lunatic and we love him.
I like him.
Kolasinac is a lunatic and I love him. We have a little bit of bite there now, but not much. I don't think Xhaka really isn't like that. Torreira's a little
You probably can't get away with it nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to have that. You know, you're not going to have the Rio Ferdinands, the Tony Adams. It's just not that sort of game, is it? I just feel...
Amanda, I think we're going to have it in a different way.
Yeah.
And I think you highlight some really key players. Those guys have a little crazy in them. Sokratis is the player we've been missing in the back for years. Torreira has a little bit of an edge to him. Xhaka can be a little dirty player and he's a bit of a naughty boy, but a bit stupid, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like if we can consistently have players in the side for a bit... You know, Roy Keane, Vieira, you had that history, a nucleus, two captains. They infused the rest of, you know, their teams with this bite. I feel like if United and Arsenal can keep these players there for two or three more seasons, when Leno, look, you talk about that. It's a great point, Dale, because Leno said that they never forgot Lingard do his moonwalk when you beat us earlier in the season. He said that stuck with Arsenal players and they played it over and over again and they watched it before the game. So I like that we have players like that in our squad now that look at moments like that and think, right, you're going to moonwalk in our face and take the piss. We'll see you next time. So I do like that.
It's all about reaction, isn't it? You know, Pizzagate and that. When those incidents happen, it's we're going to get them back the next time. Or if... Do you know what? It was one result, and he beat us yesterday. The reaction from United players should be to make sure that does not happen again. You know, and the next day, I kind of was critical of United. They weren't aggressive enough yesterday. And I personally look at Arsenal whenever we play them, and it's usually I kind of feel that, you know, Arsenal are hitting hard and they get a bit weak, and we just weren't at the races that way. And I think a few of those figures you've mentioned, a few of the hotheads you've brought into the team, that could have been the difference. That this Arsenal team weren't going to push over and they weren't going to go over easy. And they certainly didn't. They went 90 minutes, they won 2-0. Great win, and you're totally right to be happy about it.
And that's why I started with the defence weren't boys, they were men yesterday, because we often have calamity defending. We've had a lot of that this season and the season before. So I'm very protective of what I saw yesterday, because Shelny can be a proper defending man, if you know what I mean. And sometimes he's not. But you know, it was a great spectacle. I really enjoyed it, actually. But at no point was I plutzing. You probably don't know what that means, Dale, but that means stressing, okay? That we're at 1-0, yeah. When we got 2-0, I started to enjoy it, but it was still 20 minutes to go. And knowing Arsenal, they could have done an Arsenal. You know, you'd have let one in. I mean, Leno, for me, just another great game for him. It's
he
nice.
Was fantastic.
He was. It's so nice to have a good goalkeeper that just... It is just there, you know.
There was one incident, he comes out and sweeps it, and he kicks a high ball, a long ball, and the accuracy is just pinpoint. And I was there thinking,
what a pass.
That,
I mean, I
that
was
is
going,
pass.
I was screaming in, get back in, go! I was like this, because you could lob it from there. But no, I'm so pleased with how Leno's come on. But you know what? It's football. It's great. It was a really, really good game. And then all of a sudden, the wind and the rain start. We're all getting soaked. But you don't care. Well, I don't care because we won. it wasn't a very long journey home for me. But you know what? We deserved it. So I'm pleased.
And I think with Ole, you know, he brought that Man United old school vibe and feel about him in the dressing room. He can tell these players about these battles that he's played in against Arsenal. We have that with Steve Bold on the bench. And as much as I'm not happy with Boldy's reign with Wenger, but, you know, from some insiders and insights, we know that he really couldn't do much himself. And the defense has improved, so I'll give him a little bit of credit. But to have those kinds of players at the club that can continue the legacy and really showcase the pedigree, I think we're going to see a lot more exciting games between Manchester United and Arsenal going forward. So I have to say, I hope we finish in the top four and you do, so Spurs can miss out. I'd rather United qualify Champions League than Tottenham.
Yeah.
So
I won't have to emigrate. I won't have to emigrate, will I? Especially if they come out of the Champions League.
Just thinking back, when you asked me what manager I'd like next season, it's amazing to think that I answered that question 2 months on from being totally sure I wanted Mauricio Pochettino.
Yeah.
And he didn't even come into my mind when you asked that question. It was totally Solskjaer. That's the work he's done. Now, that's not dissing Pochettino. Spurs manager, but a great, great coach. But what Ollie's done at United, the uplift and how I'm feeling, how United fans are feeling, it's just too big to outweigh that.
And you know what as well, Dale? You're actually playing good football. Mourinho, you were so goddamn boring and rubbish that I can't stand him anyway. Forget that. And I came to Old Trafford last year talking to one of your stewards about Mourinho, and I said, do you honestly like him? This football is shite. And he said, no, I don't. But that was last season. I just think you're becoming more Man United now.
For example, for a run, I was only at a hospital there recently about a month ago, and since I come out, I've been struggling sleeping. During the Mourinho era, I had no problem sleeping. No problem. It was sleeping juice in football, whereas now, I'm just buzzing the whole time, 3 o'clock in the morning, thinking next game, Ollie's at the wheel, not getting asleep.
He's at the wheel.
That's amazing. I love it. In a similar way, I think we feel that way too. It's been much more fun watching Arsenal this season. And I think for us, the biggest thing is Emery has our team showing up in big games. And that's the difference. We're not collapsing. We're stronger mentally. And, you know, I think yesterday was good for us because you did play pretty good. You had moments in the game where you played some really pretty football. Like Amanda said, there were a few moves. The Lukaku holding that ball up in the penalty area where he just waited for the flank player to come in and he just passed it with his left foot. There was really good moments that I think that we coped with well. So, you know, we're not going to lie. We felt really good to beat you. And we really appreciate you coming on the show after such a big game like that, win or lose. And you're always a phenomenal guest. And for all of our Gooner fans who really want some perspective when we're playing Manchester United, you got to follow Dale. He's at O'Donnell Dale on Twitter, and at Stretti News. He's the editor of Stretti News, one of the most reliable, really good quality sources for all things Manchester United. And we really thank you for coming on, and just love your dialogue and your insights, Dale. It's just been a lot of fun.
Look, thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure being on with yourself, Sophie, and Amanda. Enjoyed it. And Kevin, briefly, you know, you can come on and ask the podcast after the results. you dread it. But no, I really enjoyed it, and thanks for having me on.
Can I just say, Sophie, that Dow is brilliant for a United fan, and then we had Ben, who was a Spurs fan, who was brilliant. I don't know what's going on. It's like a parallel universe. I don't meet decent United and Spurs fans, but both of them have been brilliant. So yeah, Dow, thanks for coming on.
Thanks,
it's not easy, but it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Likewise, thank you.
Thanks, Dale. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Right, bye. So, Soph, I was really impressed with Dale. Isn't it lovely to meet a Man United fan that isn't biased and really appreciated what we gave to the game?
Absolutely. And, you know, he's got really good insights. He looks at the game, you know, from not just his rose coloured Manchester United eyes. You're spot on there, PG. And I've been speaking to him for years about football. He's just someone who loves the game. And to see him kind of grow up when he first came on, well, you know, the old show back in the day, he was really young. And to see him build Stretty News up to over 50,000 followers and to kind of be doing what he's doing is awesome as well. So I'm very proud of him.
Yeah, no, it's really good. Really pleased to have him on. Okay, so we've got other stuff to talk about, haven't we, young lady? I want to just talk about a couple of things yesterday.
What's on your list?
My list is, I personally think, because he didn't come to me on this, I think De Gea is slightly at fault, but it's not a howler like everyone's saying. And Dale was right, it did move in the wind. I did see Gary Neville go for Jamie Carragher in the whole interview, which was really interesting, because he's completely criticised him. And De Gea is one of the best goalkeepers in the world, obviously. What I want to do is have a little love in. I swear... I want to adopt Lacazette and Aubameyang. I'm telling you, this bromance, they could make a film. Do you know what? It's so lovely to see that not one of them is selfish. Not one of them is me, me, me. Okay. It is just wonderful to see. He gets the penalty. He goes to Aubameyang and grabs him and says, you take it. And you, whatever he says to him, I've got that picture. I've actually now changed my telephone lock screen from Kolasinac against Spurs. It's now these two cuddling. Okay. And I keep looking at it at work today. I know. Honestly, I feel like a mum. I just want to go and cuddle them. They're like brothers. It's so lovely. And what I loved about Aubameyang now, when he went against Spurs, I knew he wasn't going to score because the face didn't even look confident. I didn't watch it. I watched it on a replay and then I was in the kitchen. But this one I thought I'm going to watch, right? His run up was exactly the same. And not only that, right? He didn't even look at the ball, which is what I love. He watched where De Gea went. And if you watch it, he could have kicked the air for all we know. And when he was interviewed, I think Redknapp said, you didn't even look at the ball. He goes, I know where the ball is. Oh, I love him. Oh, I just wanted Aubameyang. I put a tweet out saying we've got to love this boy and give him some confidence and be the 12th man because he needed that. You know, whether it was a pen or not, it doesn't matter. You know, things happen. I was so in love. It's like a bromance. I love them too.
It was a wonderful moment.
It was, wasn't it? It was a moment of like pure, like, get in there. Yes, bro, you can do this. I loved it. I love all that. I want to pick out something else. For me, Leno was superb, but Ainsley Maitland-Niles.
Oh yeah. He's been unsung.
He has been unsung, but so many people have recognised him, to be honest. And honestly, what a game he had. And if that is what we've got to come, then he stays in the team. Because I think he was absolutely superb yesterday. I slightly disagree on what he said about our defence. As you know, I brought that up with him. Fans on pitches, if anyone's listening to this and decides to go and run on a pitch, you're an absolute twat and I don't even want you in my club. But just one of the things that I do want to say is if we're going to go for predictions on top six, okay, I actually agree with Dale in a way. I do feel we'll be fourth and they will be third. Don't ask me why. I just think that. But I do think Tottenham are on the decline. I think they're worried now. They're going into their new stadium in a couple of weeks, I think. Since Harry Kane's come back, I don't think they've won, which is fucking hilarious.
Isn't it?
I think we're on our, as I said, we've been playing well, haven't we? And also, I just think, as we walked into the stadium, I said, you know what, losing to Rennes is going to spur them on. Absolutely. Because they have been vilified. It was a disgraceful performance. And yesterday wasn't a disgraceful performance. And I actually think I looked around and I couldn't see a spare seat. I do think that is our biggest attendance of the season, even more than Spurs. And the ground was rocking and the place was buzzing and we got behind the team. That's what promotes it. I'd like to pick out something else before I go off one of my rants so you can have a chance to talk. Is those dickheads at the train station that were abusing the players after the Rennes game. Do they honestly think that that is going to encourage them? You do not speak for me, and I'm sure they don't speak for you and millions of Arsenal fans, when you are booing players through an airport terminal. Get over yourself and grow up, for God's sake. Rant over.
Well, I think we found our soundbite for the week, for sure. Very nice. I was trying to make notes as you were talking, and then I just got lost in what you were saying. So forgive me if I don't address everything. Okay, let's start off first with the bromance. I think this is one of the greatest things that has ever happened to Arsenal in a long time, in how it makes us feel about our players again. And I think what Aubameyang and Laka have done is make us feel the love for our players again. And, you know, they are unselfish and they remind me of, I've said this before on the show, Dwight York and Andy Cole. They play with a smile on their face. They play with this fun. I think Emery, you know, would be remiss of him not to play them as much as he can together, understanding that maybe tactically we have to adapt. But that moment where he got his face and he goes, bro, you take this. It was like, I cried. All right. There, I said it. I cried. If I'm going to cry as Star is Born, I'm going to cry at Lacazette and Aubameyang having a moment in the penalty box. It was brilliant.
Hey,
and
then Sorry.
To have the balls, Amanda, to step up and take that penalty. Some people said to me on Twitter, that's his job. I'm like, no. There's a difference between being your job and being under pressure at your job. And that was probably the most pressure Aubameyang has been under since he joined Arsenal Football Club. If he hadn't scored that penalty, the dialogue today and the narrative would be pretty horrific. I'm so stoked for him. And then to have the balls to not even look at the ball. Amazing. Really quite amazing. So for me, and I'm not being biased, but I think another player who's changed us is Sokratis. I think this guy, he made a tackle yesterday on the edge of the penalty box. Again, another dangerous through ball. He slides in. His timing's good. Positionally, he's great. He's got really good pace. He's a bit of a hothead, a bit of a Greek maniac, which, as you know, we Greeks, we can be a little bit crazy. But what he brings to that back line, he's a barker. He yells at everyone. I think Sokratis is probably one of our most important signings in the last 2 or 3 years.
I agree. And he's going from strength to strength. And I love him. I love that passion. And I love the fact that he's Greek for you. And yay. I don't know what you say. Yay in Greek.
Oppa.
But I love it. I just think he needs to be a bit more sensible sometimes with his decisions. Cause I'd like to keep him on the pitch most games, but yes, we need someone like this. And what's going to happen now? The momentum is going to grow in confidence. And that's what we need. All of them need to grow in confidence because as a team, this team spirit is through the roof. You can just see it. And this, where no one is mentioning, was without Torreira yesterday. And we were all dreading it, weren't we, without Torreira. Yet we coped. And yes, I'm sorry, I'll argue with any Man United fan, we deserve to win it regardless. So
we did. And well, let's get out on these couple of notes too, because Leno is very important. I think he and Sokratis combined a little bit like, I'm not saying we're Alisson and Virgil van Dijk, but you know what? People need to start looking and crediting Emery for the enhancements he's made. I heard on Match of the Day yesterday, as I said to Dale, it was all about, how United lost versus what we did to win. Another tactical masterclass from him. A good goalkeeper, a really good central defender who plays and knows. I also love Sokratis' championing of Aubameyang. Very important to have a player like him who, when Aubameyang does lose a bit of confidence, he's got Sokratis to help lift him up. And then the pitch invasion stuff, stop it. This is fucking bullshit. Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't usually swear, but what a disgrace to English football. You morons. These are thugs. These are, if people were on the street, they'd be locked up, they'd be handcuffed, they'd be taken. And you know what? The response from the authorities after Grealish did get hit was pathetic at that ground. You know, here in the US, that player, that fan would have been cuffed and in a car before you could say what happened. So we need to get our shit together, protecting players and making sure that there's not a Monica Seles situation. Have we not learned from all those years ago what happened to her and how it destroyed her career? So sharpen up and let's just eradicate this and protect the players and do the right thing. And Amanda, we also have a football game to play on Thursday before we go off for the international break. And it's a really big one. It's really, really important. We're 3-1 down. What do you think? What does your crystal football say? Are we going to make it?
Yeah, I think we are. I think we're going to be lucky. I think we're going to get the 2-0. I do. I just think our confidence at the moment is great. I felt positive. Kevin and I predicted 2-1 yesterday. You went 3-2, didn't you? Is it 3-2 or 3-1?
3-2 on the United score, I went.
3-2. Me and Kev did 2-1. So we're all being positive. So, yeah, I actually think we're going to win 3-0 on Thursday night. That's my prediction. I know I said 2, but I think 3.
Yeah, I think the reverse score, but to us this Thursday. 3-1 to us. We go through and everyone goes off for international break, feeling a little bit confident. We come back and then we've got Newcastle, which we will talk about closer to the time. Amanda, I want to say something. I know, right?
Yeah.
But you have, as I've always said, we want to just say thanks to everyone because we just passed the 3,000 follower mark on Twitter.
Yep.
And if it wasn't for my little Twitterholic here, and the football machine that she is, I'm not working on the project I was before. So you'll be seeing a lot more of me on Twitter, towards the end of the season. But, you know, she's really carried the torch, for most of this season. On Twitter, talking to you guys, making stuff happen. And here we are, 3,000 followers plus. Brilliant job by you. I wanted to say thank you to you and also thank you to everyone. And, you know, you have a lot of fun out there chatting with people. Thank you to Kevin as well for being part of our team this season. You know, we love our football dialogue. We really enjoy talking to each other about the Arsenal and the beautiful game. And we just wanted to say thank you and show our gratitude to you. So we're going to get some type of giveaway and do it on the next show. We don't know what that is yet because I literally just thought about it. And it's going to be very cool, though. And Amanda, I know that you love hanging out with everyone out there, too. And, you know, it's just been a really good season.
It has. And I love interacting with everybody on my personal account. I love interacting on the Highbury squad. I have a little helper as well on the Highbury squad that tweets stuff because I can't do 24/7. I'd love to talk to all of you. But what I love is, you know, I'd say 99% of the people that I tweet with are will allow me to have my opinion and will allow others to have their opinions and have a really good discussion, whether you agree or not, in a civilized way. Obviously, there are some dickheads in life, as there are on social media, that are idiots. I just don't bother. Just think they're idiots. But I love talking to rival fans. I've got loads of different fans that follow me. I'll always say what I've got to say. I'm not a sheep, as you know. And thank you. Yeah, honestly, we're over 3,000 people following our little podcast. It's so cute. And, you know, my podcast sister here is brilliant and I love her. And if you could see our WhatsApps with Kevin as well, it's like a family. We argue about everything all the time, as in football related, obviously. But no, it's been brilliant. And Soph and I will continue trying to bring all the brilliant guests. And I think we've had some fantastic guests the last couple of years. So thank you. Sophie does most of that. Yeah, brilliant. You know, just bring it on. You know, let's finish the season. We're in middle of March now. We've got the last quarter coming up. I'm feeling positive. I think you are, Soph, aren't you?
I sure am. I am feeling that top four. I got that top four feeling. I may even write a poem about it, but I'm going to wait. I'm not going to put the eggs before the cart or the horse before the cart. Whatever.
The cart before the horse. Oh, I don't know.
Thank you. Yeah.
I feel like
the maester on Game of Thrones. Because now I've become obsessed with it. I'm on episode 2 of series 3 or season 3. I'm like the maester.
Have you seen the Red Wedding yet?
No, shush, don't tell me anything, for God's sake.
I'm not. I was just asking.
No,
so
no spoilers.
Okay.
Season 2, remember, not 3. Oh, no, I'm on 3. Oh. I can't remember what I'm on. Season 3, I think. And I'm loving it. I'm really enjoying it. Not something I'd ever think I'd ever watch, but now I've become like that. And I think out of all the characters, I'm like the maester because I'm old.
So, yeah, we both have that wannabe Khaleesi in us, you know what I'm saying?
Like, Yeah, I've got my dragons. Now, I'd like to be Lady Stark because I feel like she's powerful. We are powerful women, Sophie. And Independent Women's Day, or whatever you want. What was it?
International Women's Day. We're definitely not Cersei. You know, thank God for that. But is it not just the most brilliant television show ever?
I'm getting there to that point. So I am getting there. But it took me 2 seasons to understand everybody. And I did have some help from my other half, I have to be honest, because I must have asked 1,000 questions and he's obsessed with it. So it's great. He just tells me.
Well, he's related, isn't he? Isn't he related to the...
He's not related to him.
And also, when that theme tune comes on, I'm not being funny. If you or I ever get married again, that's going to be the wedding march down the aisle.
I've got no comment to make.
I'm getting married to the theme tune to Game of Thrones as I walk down the aisle.
No, I got married to Match of the Day last time. I don't think I'll be playing that one again.
It's so epic.
Anyway, we've had a very professional podcast and now we've just let it all go to shit. Anyway, right, you. What's your prediction for Ren?
Oh, 3-1.
Oh, 3-1. Do we go through at 3-1? I can't work it out.
Yeah, because we'll have... Oh, we'll go to extra time. Wait, this is where Kev would say, hello.
No.
I'm going to say 4-1.
Let's just do 4-1 and I'll do 3-0. There we go. There's our predictions. We love to know your predictions.
Find us on Twitter at Highbury Squad and let us know. And Kev will share his prediction with everyone a little bit before the game where he's like Jason Bourne right now. He's out there somewhere, Amanda.
Yeah, he is. Right, you. I'm going. You're going. We can just go and bask in the glory of yesterday, yeah?
Do it.
Always Arsenal.